Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome into Stone Cold Stroh's. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. They are at Polillo and at Josh Jordan 975 on X. And in between our podcast episodes here, you can read their blogs over on sportsmap.com. On today's episode, Houston grabs another series dub. All eyes shift now to La La Land for a 2017 postseason rematch. But before that, all eyes were on imaging as Houston held their breath in anticipation of Yordan's consultation with a hand specialist. We'll get into that. Charlie, Josh, welcome in. The list of consecutive non-losing series is almost as long as the list of players on the IL right now for Houston. Luis Guillorme, the latest addition to the IL, which I can only assume now that that club comes with a blazer and an IL patch, something classy. Taking two or three from the Rockies and Coors isn't really an event usually worth much fanfare, but considering the adversity Houston's been facing, just health-wise, their margin for error just keeps getting smaller and smaller, and yet they keep putting these series wins together. 15 players currently on the IL, 7 by my count are pitchers. Victor Caratini, Cam Smith stepping up among others to help Houston keep their winning ways alive. Rockies played Houston pretty tough. Charlie, we'll start with you. What did you think of the series?
Book a series win, especially on the road. Now, dropping the finale Thursday, I mean, it should be a very minor sour taste in the mouth. Yes, playing maybe the worst team in the history of Major League Baseball, a chance to sweep slips past. But the Astros, frankly, more than overdue to lose a one-run game. It had been well over a month since they dropped one of those. They were 26-25 at one point this season. Since then, including the loss Thursday, since 26-25, they're 26-10. So a sizable lead in the American League West. Challenging weekend, of course, at hand with the Dodgers. But 9 games clear of missing out on at least a wild card, as we're now a week beyond the midpoint of the schedule. So with the injuries continuing to stack, you know, it's tough to make a long-term living eking out close win after close win after close win. The Astros are 18-8 in one-run games, 5-1 in extra inning games. The sand in those hourglasses doesn't have to run out within a given season. But generally over 162 games, things seem to tend to level out a little bit. But they remain over 90% to at least make the playoffs. And they're a good week immediately before and after the All-Star break, those series with the Rangers and Mariners, from having an opportunity to really run away with the AL West. So, yeah, you'd like to have swept the Rockies, but no biggie other than they missed out on a chance to finally get the road record over 500 for the season.
Yeah, and it was close. You know, it came to one run in the finale, 7-6. They tied in hits, 13 hits. The Astros just a few times they couldn't get it done when they had some opportunities with guys in scoring position. Christian Walker had a pretty good series overall. Looks like he's hitting the ball a little harder. You could just see the frustration on him where he had that little pop-up towards the end of the game and he just slammed the bat on the ground. It's just whenever there's an opportunity with guys in scoring position, he's really struggled this year. Whereas Cam Smith has been incredible in those situations. He wasn't able to get it done at the end of the game today with the strikeout, but he can't do it every time. It is baseball. You're not going to get a base hit every time you come up there. And I think had the situation been a little different, Jordan Weems, Brandon Weir, Texan, feels like Espada left him in the game a little too long. I know that Abreu and Hader were unavailable in the previous game. It makes me think they were unavailable today as well, because this game got really close and the Astros didn't really go for their high leverage guys. So, it did seem like Espada didn't want to push it, especially at the All-Star break coming up. And Abreu and Hader, they've leaned on those guys a lot. So I guess I don't have a big problem with it, but look, it's a lot of replacement guys. And I know it's the Rockies, but the Astros competed and their success is pretty much every time Hunter Brown and Fromber go out there, they pretty much win that game. And then they're able to backfill a lot of these other starts with these other guys. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, if McCullers can step up and be one of these guys you can count on like the other two, or he's going to be like the rest of the rotation where it's kind of a coin flip and you hope your offense can bail you out.
Yeah, Abreu and Hader, a spot is just not going to use when they're behind, unless you're in an emergency situation or in the playoffs or a do or die game to get to the playoffs where to keep it within a run if you're behind seventh or eighth inning. And, you know, King is tapered off a little bit and you can only go to the well so often with Okert, and Sousa got the save in the game on Wednesday night. Brandon, you mentioned in the open the margin for error or of error for the Astros being pretty slim right now. I mean, the Rockies are an atrocity. They won their 20th game of the entire season on Thursday. Well, they play the Astros three close games. The Astros won a one-run game, won a two-run game, and lost a one-run game. So while the Astros have been getting incredible results where it matters most, the win column over this extended period, it's not like they've been a dominant team. They've just been grinding out close game after close game. And in terms of hitting stats and who's swinging the bat well, Coors Field is a damn freak show, right? The Rockies are what the Rockies are. The Rockies team batting average at home this season is better than the Astros team batting average outside of Daikin Park. So everybody, even people who suck, can put up halfway decent numbers in Colorado. But Cam Smith's been putting them up pretty much everywhere now, batting average at about 290 OPS, right around the 800 mark. So, you know, plenty of ball remaining. He's not the rookie of the year front runner in the American League at this point, but for a guy who wasn't supposed to be playing any outfield coming into this season and now is there on an everyday basis and is going to be immovable from their lineup. I mean, for goodness sakes, he's their cleanup hitter under current conditions more often than not now. Here's to Cam, and as Josh referenced, not with these words, it's a game of failure. It said about hitters where you're really good, you're going to make an out two-thirds of the time in terms of hits at bats, not on base percentage. So Cam Smith, no one should be saying, oh, he didn't come through in a clutch. No, he just didn't come through in that particular at bat.
Definitely can't put this on Cam Smith. He was the one who tied the game in the seventh. And, you know, and I just go back to Josh, what we were texting about, just because you did get the gift. It wasn't really a gift. It was the correct call. They overturned the play at the plate, which was closer than I even thought. But they get the overturned call. You're at two outs then with a runner at third. I just felt like Weems had been so wild. You're already on your second inning with him. I just don't think there would have been anything wrong with pulling him in that moment, just considering it looked like the wheels were falling off. Flip side of that is maybe he can induce a weak pop up and get out of the inning, but he didn't. He ended up giving up two more hits and two more runs, and it kind of put the game away basically. But maybe it's one of those things, Josh, you've talked about it. It's like you got to save these pitching and maybe just save them from themselves, because if they go into extras and you're having to burn up too much of your bullpen ahead of the Dodgers, that's not ideal either. Before we get to the Dodgers, we teased it in the open. We had a grim, what at least seemed a grim report earlier in the week about Yordan being shut down after feeling soreness. They sent him to a specialist. We got an uncharacteristically in-depth explanation of the results of that consultation. The Cliff's notes were Yordan's pain was due to inflammation, fracture is healed and apparently unrelated. He got injections, but other than just general soreness, the prognosis was good. First, I want to get your thoughts on the update on Yordan. But then secondly, I want to get your reaction to the length of the update that we got. I feel like given the length of this debriefing that we got for the result of this consultation, combined with the itemized injury reports and updates we're now getting published to the media, I do wonder if perhaps Houston's front office is responding to the criticisms of how murky the injury updates had been prior.
I don't think there's any other conclusion to draw. I mean, more than a press release, damn, it was almost a manifesto laying it out, basically saying, we've done nothing wrong. We've done nothing wrong. We've done nothing wrong. See, it's corroborating our earlier reports, not the ones going back to when he initially was swinging a bat with a broken hand, but more recently, that it's just the inflammation causing the pain now. I just wonder, as the release was being typed, was breath held and one hand had fingers crossed behind the back. They don't have credibility. We'll believe Yordan is healthy and in the right direction when he's actually on the field for the Astros. I see no reason for it to be before the All-Star break. I would probably say the same at this point with Jeremy Peña. And then we can get to Chaz McCormick, who's going to at least be playing a little bit for Sugarland. But he's Chaz McCormick, right? There's no excitement about, if they can only get Chaz McCormick back. I mean, Jacob Melton's return would frankly be more encouraging. And Spencer Arrighetti, now that's a real meaningful one, or one of the other starting pitchers. But on Yordan to come back and hopefully be pre-2025 Yordan, I think I said a couple of weeks ago, if you could tell me he'd be back for that Seattle series coming out of the All-Star break and be healthy from there, book it. And I'll stick with that.
I think they are starting to hear all the noise. I remember Chandler Rome's mentioned that the other ball clubs do provide, you know, releases of injury information.
He showed examples of it. Like, right, he was publishing other teams' examples of, right, injury updates.
Yeah.
Never, ever let the trainer speak to anyone in the media, ever.
Right.
Yeah, so at least he cited some examples where if you provide us with little updates, then I don't have to ask you every day. And I think that was the big thing that maybe the Astros were like, yeah, let's, if it's not that crucial of stuff, let's just put that out there. They won't ask about it. It's not a story anymore. It's just, oh yeah, Chaz is going to work on some stuff in Florida. Cool. You know, then we don't have to ask what Chaz is up to. So I think that's part of it. It concerns me a little bit that he's getting these shots. I'm just purely guessing. Maybe they're cortisone shots, something like that. Or maybe it's something for inflammation, or it could be both. Who knows? But it is worrisome that every time he picks up a bat and starts hitting baseballs, a day or two later, it doesn't feel right again. So we'll see. It's concerning because I think the Astros have the most guys injured in all of baseball right now. So that's the other problem is, it's not just Yordan. Look at all the guys that are hurt. This is incredible. And it's not just pitchers. It's like Guillorme and just, you know, weird stuff happening. So it just feels like they're a little unlucky right now. Hopefully they can pass through it. And they're winning ball games. It's impressive how they're just pulling up guys. Hey, Wickham, get in the lineup, hit a home run. We'll win a ball game. So they're managing to do it, but it's not like Altuve is killing the ball right now. It's now you're kind of down to Paredes and Cam Smith. They're kind of doing a lot of the heavy lifting for you right now. I think it was Matt Kawahara had a thing. He just posted during today's game on Twitter that for cleanup hitters for the Astros, Cam has 10 RBIs in 10 games in that cleanup spot. Everybody else has 28 RBIs in 80 games. That is incredible to think. And it's the Christian Walker thing I kind of talked about earlier. For some reason, Cam's really good with guys on base. So they need to keep him in that run producing spot for the near future and hopefully for a long time. If he can handle it as a rookie, look out as he starts maturing.
He's their best with runners in scoring position right now, hitting over 350. And I concur with you too. I definitely believe that this adjustment, I think this is in response to those criticisms, and it's smart because I think not only does it create more efficiency in having to ask for updates and having to have a manager not want to share too much or not say the wrong thing, it's right there in writing where everyone can read. And it's also something you can refer to. If you get asked about as a manager, go, we put out the update. I don't have anything more than that. I think it also, when you have an absence of information, it leaves a lot of room for speculation and interpretation. And so I think this clears up a lot of that. I also think the consultation was published in the length it was because if there's any complications down the road, they can point to and say, see, somebody else said the same thing, which was fine. So I think it does give them plausible deniability of how they've handled it to this point. But we just have to consider ourselves fortunate. It looks promising. It's as good as you could hope for of a prognosis. Houston won't obviously have him for the Dodgers series. They head to the Dodgers series. Sounds like they may not have Jeremy Pena either. He hasn't resumed baseball activities yet, although they say he doesn't have to be healed necessarily to start doing that. They just need him to feel okay enough to do it. But Josh, you mentioned it. They're just so undermanned right now. I wonder, like, I'm not trying to have a loser mentality or concede a series before it's even began, but I think it's probably fair to temper expectations considering they go into LA without an ideal rotation. We'll say that, you know, the rotation matchup's not ideal for this situation. What would we be able to really glean, Charlie, from this series against the Dodgers here?
Oh, nothing more than we could from the Astros sweeping three from the Phillies or taking two out of three from the Cubs or earlier this season losing two out of three to the White Sox. It's one series. Any result of three games among 162 in the middle of the season, other than in the moment, and they all count in the standings, there are no big picture conclusions to be drawn. Obviously, there will be no pity party from anyone in the American League West or the 50,000 plus. Oh, they're the undermanned Astros, so we should only take a 0.8 of a win if we happen to beat them. And the Dodgers, by the way, have had as many as 14 pitchers on their injured list this season. The Astros this weekend will not face their one terrific healthy pitcher this season, Yamamoto, because he hasn't pitched yet on 4 days rest. Sunday would be 4 days rest, so they're not going to do that. Snell is out. Glasnow is out. They just got back Kershaw recently. Roki Sasaki is out. Max Muncy, the best hitter in baseball in the month of June, looks like he had a knee caved in on Wednesday night. Huge blow to the Dodgers. Could be lost for the season. Certainly not going to play this weekend. Mookie Betts not having a good year at all. Yeah, but they still have Ohtani hitting. Will Smith's the best catcher in baseball. Freddie Freeman's the best first baseman in baseball. They have more healthy premium bodies than do the Astros. But you know what? The Astros have as good a starting pitcher as any in the game over the last month and a half in Framber Valdez, starting one of the games in the Dodger series. So that the Astros go in, if they win all three games, it won't be some miracle. Remember when the Dodgers loaded up in the offseason after winning the World Series and, oh, geez, could they win 120 games? Well, with all their injuries and just the vagaries of performance, they're in a tougher division race than are the Astros right now. And because the National League has so many more good teams, then it's not completely implausible. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but the Dodgers going up missing the playoffs. So the Astros, yeah, they're going in and facing the current kings of the mountain, but they're not some unbeatable team in a 2 out of 3 series. Even if we told the Astros, you can't have Cam Smith or Isak Paredes this weekend either.
That would be incredible. Who are they going to put out there? My Lord, Joe Espada might have to suit up if we don't have those guys. Look, we'll see. I think McCullers, we're rolling the dice, right? Is he going to be able to at least protect the bullpen a little bit in that start? I think that'll be a big part of it for the Astros. And Altuve, he's had some big performances lately where he's gotten you some wins, and he had the big hits in the second game where he passed Bagwell, and that's all well and good, but that was like his first multi-hit game since June 18th. So it's kind of real scarce for Altuve. I'd like to see him contributing on the level of like Cam Smith, you know, somebody like that. Paredes has just been so steady through this whole, his defense has been just terrific too. So a lot of credit to him and Yiner. And it looks like Caratini's starting to get going. That was something I talked about in our last video. Like, how are the catchers going to perform? Can they give them a lift? At least those two guys are healthy, and you got to lean on the experience that you have right now. So it's always fun to me watching the Astros face the Dodgers. We got some national games coming up. We will have that excuse. We're not at full strength here, but it doesn't matter. Just like we said in the Rockies series, the Astros could lose that series. Anything can happen in baseball. The Astros could absolutely win this series against the Dodgers.
Absolutely. And critical pieces of their success have been, as you mentioned, Hunter Brown winning pitcher of the month for June, Josh Hader winning reliever of the month. I believe the broadcast said that was his 8th time in his career that he's won reliever of the month. Speaking of awards, we've been talking about this heater that Cam Smith's been on. It certainly raised eyebrows locally. It's starting to get national attention. Now, obviously, currently right now, Jacob Wilson's the odds-on favorite to win the AL Rookie of the Year. But what kind of campaign do you think Smith would need to put on in the second half for him to really get into a serious conversation about Rookie of the Year?
Well, he has a very legit chance to climb into the race. A couple of reasons, starting with the Cam Smith-centric performance, right? He's trending up. He'll have to pick up a little more power production. I think if he winds up with 11 home runs, that's not going to cut it, right? He still doesn't elevate the ball as much as you hope someone with his natural power will grow into if he's to be a 20, 25, 30 home run guy. But we're still talking about just the baby in that he's hitting 290 and he takes walks. It's just been one of the most phenomenal developments for the Astros 2025 season, but long-term horizon beyond that. Probably not going to win a gold glove as a rookie right fielder. Willier Abreu, former Astros prospect, may repeat in that department. But everyone already knows, wow, this kid can really play out there. He can go get it, and boy, can he throw it. And then the big one, the Astros are good, right? Even if the ship starts to list in the second half, at absolute minimum, the Astros are going to be in the race and playing important games in August and September. And Cam Smith front and center in those with opportunities to further build the resume and get recognition for it. Whereas Jacob Wilson, all credit to him, the Athletic season is over. I was borderline stunned. You know, you can run gimmicky internet campaigns, but this is a rookie playing in Sacramento for the Athletics. Who are their fans that he beat out Bobby Witt Jr. for the starting spot? Yeah. That blew me away. Now, it's not some crime. Jeremy Pena deserving, but you know what? Since he's kind of really gonna miss the last 2 weeks before the break, Witt may have the best body of work when the All-Star game actually gets here. But Wilson's batting 339. He'd been leading the league for a little bit of the season, except for Aaron Judge. But the defensive numbers aren't good. I don't think he's going to continue to hit 339. So if he winds up, say, 310 with 14 home runs for a 69-93 A's team, it hurts his candidacy. If Cam Smith is going to the whip, well, the Astros are driving for a ninth consecutive playoff appearance.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the thing is Cam's the guy that you feel the best about coming to the plate in a big moment right now. And we're not even to the All-Star break of his rookie year. So imagine if he can really grow and he's starting to get a feel for the pitchers in the division and he's learning. You know, it's not like he's been in the minor leagues very long with a bunch of these guys. He's come up and he's had to figure it out on the fly. So I give him a good chance. I think Charlie's right, too. There's going to be a lot of big games down the stretch where people are really watching the Astros. And they're going to see who's the guy driving the Astros. They're going to be like, wow, it's Cam Smith. And I think with the All-Star break, maybe this isn't such a bad thing, Pena not getting the All-Star game. He's banged up. Let him rest. Let him heal. Kind of same thing for your whole roster. Everybody is banged up right now. And every time the Astros go to the All-Star game, all they do is boo at the guy, no matter even if he was even on the team five, right. 7 years ago. It doesn't matter. They get the same response. So it's like, who cares? You know, like, why should we come entertain you? Let's get our club ready for the back half and let's go to another World Series. How about that?
Yeah, let Pena get the recognition Sunday of being named an All-Star reserve. And of course, since he hasn't gone before, he might enjoy the experience, even the booing. And this year they're wearing the normal uniform, so he won't be hard to recognize. But yeah, if he's not going to play before the All-Star break, certainly he's not going to play in the All-Star game. And maybe if Pena is removed, that facilitates Isak Paredes getting added as an additional third baseman. Though generally they go position by position. So if Pena is the player's choice rather than Witt, they'd probably go shortstop for shortstop. But yeah, a little downtime. And look, Atlanta's a fine city, but it's not like the Pro Bowl used to be where, oh, it's a trip to Hawaii. Of course I'm going to go to the Pro Bowl. Jeremy can go to Atlanta anytime he wants. So if he chooses to just sit it out, even if he's back playing, I'm sure he'd want to go for the experience and walk the red carpet and all the stuff attached to it. But same thing with Pena. If you can tell me he's good coming out of the All-Star break with no complications from that day forward, no biggie if he sits out these remaining games before the break.
Yeah. Cam Smith has just been such a fun story, a breath of fresh air. We've had so many negative things happen health-wise with this team. And so to be able to offset that with a rook who never played above double A to come to the bigs and just make his mark like he has, it's really fun. It's very reminiscent of Jeremy Pena, although obviously the bar offensively higher for Smith seemingly. Final thoughts before we're out the door.
There are only six teams in the American League over 500. And the Astros comfortably now, the Yankees continue to stagger to the point that they have company from both the Blue Jays and the Rays in the American League East race. And while it's not as skewed toward intra-division play as it used to be, well, you still play more games against your divisional opponents than anyone outside your division. So the Yankees with those additional games against the Rays, right? The Jays just whacked them earlier in the week. Credit to George Springer coming on hard. Might wind up on the All-Star team. Whereas the Astros have only the Mariners that look like anything remotely approaching a playoff team at this point. If the Astros can slap around the Angels, A's, Rangers final series before the break, and they're already up 3-1 on Seattle. The Astros are well positioned to make a run at missing the 2 out of 3 lightning round, pass and go, collecting $200 and going straight to the 3-5 division series.
I'm curious to see how this trade deadline is going to play out. Astros have a lot of young, talented guys. It's fun getting to see them get some opportunities here. I just, you know, which way is Dana Brown going to go? Is he going to go get that left-handed bat that we're talking about? Or you know, is Arrigetti going to come back and you feel a lot better about your pitching staff? You know, time will tell, but I mean, we're officially in July now, so we're going to see something, and the rumors are going to start flying here, we know, for the next few weeks. That's probably all we're going to be talking about. So I think this could be a very big trade deadline for Dana, just because the team's in such a good spot, and they're in position with so many guys, hopefully, fingers crossed, coming back healthy. How desperate is he going to feel the need to go get somebody, when it would be nice if you could just do it with what you have and hold on to your prospects and try and improve the system a little bit?
If the Astros play 500 ball the rest of the season, they finish with 89 or 90 wins. That's absolutely going to put you in the playoffs at minimum, if not win the division. At this point, it would likely win the division, as 88 did last season and 90 did the season before that. Now, could Seattle take off? Sure. But the Astros, barring collapse, are going to be in the playoffs. I think that definitely diminishes the likelihood of Dana Brown pushing chips in with the Astros' thin system or trading from the major league roster. Their big acquisition is still the big man himself, getting Yordan right and keeping him in that lineup and having someone emerge that you're saying that's the number three starting pitcher for a playoff series when it gets here.
Yeah, I guess since it's not my money, though, and not my farm system to have to account for, I think you could make a strong argument that this being Fromber's last year here, combined with Hunter Brown and the year he's having, you have an opportunity to have a special team to make a deep run if Yordan does get back. But you don't know that. You don't know Yordan's coming back. I do think it would be justified if they could make one move. And I know it's probably going to hurt you in some form or fashion because you just don't have a lot to give up. So, but if you could just make one move, that could bring you another bat here, because I feel like that's where it's needed. Lefty or righty at this point, I don't really care. Like, I'm not as
a lefty especially, but yeah. If Seattle wants the same guy, the Mariners farm system blows away the Astros farm system. So Seattle can easily top and Astros offer, just to use the most direct example within the American League West.
No doubt about it, but sometimes weird things happen and deals can get struck that other teams look at and said, whoa, why didn't we pay that? Sometimes it happens that way. So we'll see how it works out. But one last reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on apps like Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star rating there while you're here. Appreciate that. Next episode drops on Monday, so make sure you subscribe to the channel. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long. Thanks for listening. Until next time, go Astros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.